Chapter 1. Hopes and Fears. I'll be right back, I called through Denny Hall's closing glass door and hurried down the steep stairs on my way to get coffee, careful not to slip. I hugged myself to fend off the damp chill as I made my way along the slick, paved pathway. I was antsy and fidgety, so much so that I'd completely forgotten to retrieve my jacket before rushing outside. And a brisk walk through the seemingly constant Seattle drizzle would do my frayed nerves good. It had just been a nightmare, or daymare, I told myself. It had all been in my head, but I couldn't help stopping on the sidewalk by the scene of the imaginary crime and staring down at the spot on the asphalt where Dr. Ramirez's lifeless body had lain, what felt like only moments ago. I blinked, squeezing my eyelids shut in an attempt to block out a memory from a dream that had felt far too real. When I opened my eyes again, my heartbeat tripped over itself, and I screamed, "No!" Dr. Ramirez was there. He shouldn't have been. I'd just left him in the lobby of Denny Hall. He was supposed to be inside the old building, safe and sound, and not here. Not in danger. This couldn't be happening. He just stepped onto the street and was jogging across. At hearing my shout, he paused to look back at me, and not a second later, a speeding station wagon slammed into him.
Dr. Ramirez's body rolled up onto the hood, his head hitting the windshield with a sickening crack, before he slid back down and was dumped on the asphalt. His arm flopped out to the side, landing in a grimy puddle.
"Oh my God, Dr. Ramirez!" I stumbled across the sidewalk and onto the university's main drag. But I already knew it was too late. I already knew because I'd dreamed about almost this exact horrific thing happening mere minutes ago. I already knew that Dr. Ramirez was dead.
"But there are no guarantees, Ms. Wett," Dr. Julian Sands, veterinarian to the Negeri Stars, stared down at Russ, the tiny, still-as-stone kitten, curled up in near-eternal slumber beside Marcus's ancient little girl, Tarset. Both were frozen in time, appearing to be statues carved from quartz. Tarset, to prevent her body from giving in to the effects of a lethal poison, and Russ, because it was the only way to bring him with me into the future. "Not in cases like this," Dr. Sands continued. "Because, well, there aren't any other cases like this."
"I see." I crossed my arms and cleared my throat. Disturbed as I'd been all morning by the third recurrence of the unsettling dream about my former graduate advisor being hit by a car, it was a near exact replay of the first echo I'd ever witnessed, though thankfully it had never truly come to pass. I'd managed to pay attention to the highly esteemed and even more highly recommended vet pretty damn well.
Dr. Sands reached across the corner of the bed of solidified Ott and touched my shoulder. I made a small, unobtrusive hand gesture by my thigh, a preemptive attempt to keep Nick from taking offense at what he would no doubt perceive as an inappropriate and potentially threatening touch.
I caught only the slightest movement from him in my periphery, but his heavy exhale told me he wasn't pleased that Dr. Sands' hand was on my shoulder. Sometimes Nick could be so overprotective that he made Marcus's efforts to keep me safe look negligent in comparison. Considering my current delicate condition, that I was carrying unborn twins who were fated to restore balance to the universe, otherwise known as Ma'at to the Negeret's godlier ancestors, and that I was almost constantly on the verge of having a full-on freak-out breakdown worthy of my very own padded room because of said current condition, I didn't mind so much.
"I'm not suggesting we don't move forward with little Russ's transition," Dr. Sands said. "I'm just saying we should proceed with extreme caution. Take it slow."